This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Don't miss your window of opportunity. Upgrade your space now during Blinds.com's anniversary sale and save up to 50% site-wide. Blinds.com. Elevate your windows with the number one online retailer of custom window treatments. Blinds.com offers hundreds of premium window treatment options. Choose from woven wood and Roman shades to blinds, motorized shades, and more. All designed to fit your budget without sacrificing quality. Blinds.com brings the showroom to you with free virtual consultations and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Our design experts can help schedule a professional measure and installation, plus guidance for DIYers too. Blinds.com has been trusted for 29 years, earning thousands of five-star reviews. Shop with confidence, knowing you'll get upfront pricing, no hidden fees, and Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. But hurry, these savings won't last. Shop Blinds.com's anniversary sale happening right now for up to 50% off site-wide. Save up to 50% site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This is the LA Local Evening Update, keeping you caught up with the latest from KNX News. Check back each weekday afternoon for the LA Local's full daily briefing on what you need to know in SoCal.
Well, good afternoon, 503. I'm Brian Douglas in for Rob Archer. Thanks for listening. LA Mayor Karen Bass said that she would wait for investigations into the Palisades fire to play out before making any major decisions. But on Friday, as we well know, she decided to fire LA Fire Captain Kristen Crowley before those investigations were even complete. She talked exclusively with our Craig Figner about why.
Los Angeles Mayor Karen Bass says she's aware of three investigations into the Palisades fire disaster, two of them by the state of California. One looking at LADWP's water problems. A second looking into LAFD's fire response to the Palisades event January 7th. And then there's a third, which she calls independent, but one that she announced.
The Los Angeles Fire Commission will do an independent investigation on the response. It will be headed by Tyler Eisen, the commission independent assessor.
So that's Mayor Bass earlier this month announcing that particular investigation, the one she's leaning on now as the reason for removing Kristen Crowley as chief of the Los Angeles Fire Department.
Tyler Eisen is handling an investigation that you helped spearhead or get off the ground.
The state law requires a after-action report that is conducted or led by the fire commission, but it's an independent investigation.
That said, none of these investigations have concluded.
Right, exactly.
And you made a decision that you said you wouldn't make until investigations were finished.
Exactly, but you needed the cooperation of the chief in terms of the one with the fire commission. And she expressed that she would not cooperate with that.
And did you ask her why she wouldn't? I know you said that the meeting was brief.
No, I didn't ask her why. Because at that point, to me, it was clear that the leadership needed to change and needed to change immediately.
And there's also a fourth investigation. The first council meeting after the Palisades disaster, council members passed their own motion calling for their own independent investigation into the Palisades disaster. At LA City Hall, I'm Craig Figner, KNX News, 97.1 FM.
Well, the Riverside County Sheriff says, you know what, it's a time to eliminate waste and fraud throughout the entire state. Special correspondent Steve Gregory explains.
Chad Bianco announced last week he's running for governor as a Republican, but says it's not about the R or D in front of someone's name.
When we get away from the I will vote Democrat at all costs, I don't even care who I'm voting for, or the opposite of Republican the same way, we will stay in the same divide that we have in this state.
In this KNX News exclusive, Bianco lays out what he says are problems with the state and why he's running.
The things that we should be good at as a state, we are at the bottom. We are the worst. And the things that we should be the worst at, we are the top. We are the best. We are the most taxes, the most regulation, the most government influence in all of our lives, and we have the absolute least to show for it.
Bianco says his decades of experience as a law enforcement professional put him ahead of others, especially when things like wildfires happen. He said he was disgusted to see how political the Palisades and Eaton fires had become and the red tape before and after the fires.
This is government caused. The fire department has told our government this is going to happen. These fires are too close to the developments going out, houses going in the hills. We have to protect them, and the government will not allow it.
If he had been governor, Bianco says he would have already gotten involved on a local level.
Let me make this perfectly clear. Mayor Bass is a complete failure. She has proven that she has absolutely failed the residents of L.A. County, and she is trying to make it everyone else's fault.
Bianco says he would also implement his California version of the Department of Government Efficiency, or DOGE, by eliminating waste and fraud. In Riverside, Steve Gregory, KNX News, 97.1 FM.
Well, they've lost their homes in the Eaton Fire. Now a group is helping them fight to save the trees from being taken away in the cleanup process. Karen Adams has more on this.
One woman took to Instagram after she says two of her 60-year-old trees were removed from her Calaveras property in the cleanup process.
Neighbors, if you have a tree that has been marked with a blue dot and an orange tag, I do ask that you document it if you do not want it removed.
She's also urging you to get a second opinion. That's where the recently formed Altadena Green comes in. The small group of local arborists and landscape professionals are now out trying to save as many viable trees here in Altadena as possible.
This is an area that was well-treed and well-forested, especially Altadena. It is part of the culture and the community. I mean, you go down Christmas Tree Lane, and you're going to be so happy that you're going to see all the deodar cedars survive.
The group Stephanie Landrigan says many of the trees marked for removal will survive. They just need time to heal. Altadena Green has the meaning of the symbols on the trees on its website. Landrigan says if the tree is marked for removal but not a safety hazard or not within the area that's going to prevent debris removal, get a second opinion. In Altadena, I'm Karen Adams, KNX News, 97.1 FM.
Well, three people, including two Chinese nationals, have been arrested today on federal criminal complaints alleging that they set up shell companies that laundered about $13 million stolen from victims of investment scams known as pig butchering. And pig butchering consists of scammers. What they do is they find victims on dating services, the social media sites, or throughout unsolicited messages or even phone calls, often masquerading as a wrong number. Scammers then initiate relationships with the victims, slowly gain their trust, and eventually start introducing the idea of making a business investment. Now, the three defendants formed two companies that operated as money service businesses that were formed for the purpose of moving funds on behalf of customers to other entities. The defendants and the companies did so without registering with the Federal Crimes Enforcement Network and also the state of California. They need to do that under federal law. The three are charged with operating an unlicensed money transmitting business. That's a felony offense that carries a maximum sentence of up to 5 years in federal prison. Still to come as Nonstop News at 5 continues. President Trump says there's a new deal with Ukraine, and it's a very big deal. But is it? We're going to go in depth here in just a couple seconds. And also, an LA fire inspector calls out Mayor Bass for firing Chief Crowley. Those two stories and more on the way. It's Nonstop News at 5 continues, presented by My Lemon Law Lawyer. Text LEMON to 40333 for a free case review. All right, President Trump says he's reached a major economic agreement with President Zelensky of Ukraine that includes access to rare earth minerals. He's been talking about this for a couple weeks now. He says Zelensky actually could end up being in Washington, D.C. as early as Friday to sign that agreement.
It's a very big deal. It could be a $1 trillion deal. It could be whatever, but it's rare earths and other things.
Now, for more, we're joined live by USC Russia expert Robert English. Robert, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
First question is, Donald Trump said this is very big. Is this very big?
Well, it's big that they're finally stopping the sniping and criticism and coming to some kind of agreement. But will it be a $1 trillion deal? I kind of doubt it. And we'll have to wait to see the details emerge, because right now we don't even have a clear framework, just some fragments of information.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Was this not supposed to be? I mean, Donald Trump, he loves the art of the deal. I mean, his book, obviously, that's what he does. He likes making deals. Was this supposed to be, or at least supposed to come off as, hey, we gave you all this money, Ukraine, to defend yourself, and now this is how you're going to pay us back?
Yeah, unfortunately, it started out in the absolutely transactional way that some Ukrainians even jokingly called the art of the steal. Right? They thought that their resources were just being signed away. But that was an earlier version. And what we have now seems to have dropped this inflated price tag of $500 billion. And it basically just agrees that the U.S. will be owed one half of the revenues from future development of Ukrainian oil, gas, critical minerals like graphite and titanium and lithium, and also rare earth elements. But $1 trillion, I doubt it. That's probably an order of magnitude beyond what we'll see. And there's a lot of research and development and testing before anyone realizes $1 from this deal. It's a lot of hype, but the substance might not match it.
Yeah, there's a lot of details there. So Robert, what does this mean, if anything, for the war between Russia and Ukraine?
We're not sure yet, but it can't be anything but a good sign that they're toning down the criticism and actually signing something. And we would assume, again, these are the details we don't have yet, but we would assume that the Ukrainians need something in return for signing away their rights to all this wealth, and that's some kind of security guarantee. Trump has said that he won't agree with Ukraine joining NATO anytime soon, but will the U.S. provide a guaranteed flow of weapons? Will the U.S. provide air support and intelligence and surveillance data for our Europeans to patrol that peacekeeping zone, wherever it'll be when there's a ceasefire? That's the kind of help that the Ukrainians need, and it's the bare minimum that the Americans can give. We'll find out in a few days.
All right, Robert, you're a Russian expert here. What does Putin want out of this whole deal, if a deal comes about for the war? What will he want? What will he ask for? What will be his red line where he'll say, no, this is what I want. I'm not going to budge.
Yeah, if I knew, I would be in Las Vegas placing bets. There's probably money being taken on this now.
I bet.
I think he wants as much as he can get. Practically speaking, the Russians still talk, the militarist circles, about wanting more territory and to complete kind of a land bridge on the south beyond Crimea all the way to Odessa. This would cut Ukraine off from the Black Sea and render it a landlocked country. And it's just impossible for me to imagine Trump will agree to that. In fact, I think it's more likely that Russia will have to give back at least a little bit of territory to make this at least semi-palatable, but will probably end up retaining the Crimea and much of the Donbas. Putin wants more, but he can't get it by fighting. He's exhausted. And Trump has some weapons in his quiver if he'll use them, namely the threat of more sanctions and the threat of helping Ukraine with even more sophisticated weapons. He doesn't want to do that. Trump's overriding priority is to be able to claim that he ended this war. That was his campaign promise. But he can pressure both sides, and I don't think he's going to give Putin much more. I mean, if he did, it would shock me. And yes, we've all been shocked at his generosity with Russia, but this would be just too much. I think, in other words, it'll end roughly where they are now with some small horse trading, and then they're going to be fighting over money, over reparations, over those frozen Russian assets, and who's going to rebuild Ukraine. And that is the most important, rebuilding Ukraine, right, to be a prosperous European free democracy and leave that bombed out eastern region behind. That's where I hope we see major progress, major investment, and a bright new future for the 80% of Ukraine that remains free.
We hope so. USC Russia expert Robert English, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate it. There's a lot of work left to be done there for a peace agreement. Well, was firing LA's fire chief the right thing to do? We're going to get some insight from a current member of the LA Fire Department, but first...
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omisid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omisid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omised.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
We've been reporting all day about the reaction out of LA City Hall to the mayor removing Fire Chief Kristen Crowley. What about reaction from those within the fire department now? KNX News Chief Correspondent Charles Feldman spoke with LA City Fire Inspector David Burwell about how we got to this point. We asked whether he agreed with the mayor's reasons for removing the fire chief. He said no.
When the fire went down that evening, I called in to our, there's a number you're supposed to call. I called and asked them, I'm ready to go. And the captain I talked to, he said, Burwell, he said, we do not have any apparatus for you to ride on, so there's nothing you can do. So I cannot. With what the mayor said, I do not agree with that. And here's one for you.
So wait, so in other words, David, on the night of the fire, you called in wanting to go to work.
Yes.
But were told that you couldn't because there were no vehicles for you to go in. Is that accurate?
That's right. He said there are no apparatus for you to go in on, for you to respond on. He said, the captain said, he said, Burwell, he said, I've had 150 guys call in. They're ready to go, but we have no apparatus for them to respond on. Yes, I called in. That's exactly what happened. I called in. My wife was sitting next to me, and she was shaking her head because I was ready to go. See, here's the thing. As an inspector, I'm in my car right now. I have all my firefighting gear right now. If there was a fire right now and the company pulled up, I could literally help them. I got all my firefighting gear. I got my helmet. I got my gloves. I'm ready to go. I just need an apparatus. And they did not have one when I called that night. So that's why I'm saying you cannot blame Chief Crowley for that. And
is the mayor then, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but is the mayor then making the former Chief Crowley a scapegoat?
You know what? I'll say the mayor doesn't know what she's talking about when it comes to that. Now, whether she's making that a scapegoat, I don't want to say that. I'll let your listeners figure it out. I'll just say the mayor does not know what she's talking about when she mentions that. Because, I've gone downtown, and I know when I've gone in the councilman's office, in the mayor's office, or not in her office, but not her office, but around office, that they have the television on, and they're watching, you know, what's going on around the United States. So how can you not hear the weather? I mean, I'm just saying, but it's been a long time since I've been there. It's, you know what I mean, and been in the office. It's been a long time, but I know one time when I went in the office, they had the different news channels on. They had like five or six television. They had them turned to the different news stations. So I don't know how you can't hear the weather.
I was going to ask you, that's an interesting point, David, because the mayor has said that in the couple of days leading up to her trip to Africa, she just wasn't aware of the potential severity of the problem. Were you?
Yes, you can. Here's the whole thing. I'm an inspector. I'm low in the chain, but I knew what's going on. I'm not riding on the fire company, but I heard the weather. I listened to the weather. I listened to you guys on the weather. I listened to a whole bunch of people. I don't know how you can be the mayor and not hear it. I'm just saying, I mean, if you want to try to sell me the bridge, you know, in the San Francisco bridge, then I guess, you know, if you're sick or something, you know what I mean? You're failed and you didn't hear it. But I just can't. I find that hard to believe. I'm just saying because it was around us. Now, for the mayor mentioned for Chief Crowley, call her and tell her how urgent it is. Oh, my God. I mean, I drove the hook and ladder for 27 years. And I know there are times I need fuel. I'd say to my captain, hey, I need fuel. But sometimes the captain would figure out, we've been out all day. Hey, you need fuel? Well, yeah, you're the mayor. You're the boss. She got the authority. I don't have the authority. She should be monitoring the stuff. And if she didn't know, she should have known. Put it that way, because you are the mayor. Okay, if you didn't know, you should have known. That's it. No excuse. I'm firefighter. There's no excuse. I'll work with you, but there's a point in time where you have to stand up and say, there's no excuse. I messed up. And I think she just messed up. That's it.
At 6:15, we're going to continue that discussion with L.A. City Fire Inspector David Burwell. And that is Nonstop News at 5, presented by My Lemon Law Lawyer. Text LEMON to 40333 for that free case review.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.